What's up? This is PR, and you're now listening to Respect the Game, the Slam podcast on Winner's Circle Media.
What's good, world? It's your boy, Pete Walsh, back again. Another one, Volume 3, Respect the Game, Slam Magazine's podcast. Forgot my AKA. It's AKA Al Jefferson's Weed Connect. I got my man, Abe Schwadron, with me. Abe, what's good?
Yo, what up? AKA Young Benny the Jet in the building.
And of course, brought him back again. We got the big homie, Adam Figman. Figs, what's good?
What's up, man? Adam Figman, AKA Young Clickbait.
Almost old clickbait at this point, no?
Yeah, like weathered quick clickbait.
Washed clickbait. So, fellas,
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's all right to be back, I guess. The holidays are upon us. My man Figs just blessed me with two pairs of socks and a t-shirt.
Socks.
Feeling very, 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 very fortunate for that.
Cozy gang?
Oh, the cozy boys. Limbs on Linguini in the studio right now. Super relaxed. Never been so relaxed. But yeah, you know, my man Figs, I think he might be dating a Knicks City dancer. For the second straight studio session, he has showed up late because he's been at Knicks just shoot around pregame.
I thought you were going to say for the second straight season, he's dating a Knicks City dancer.
So Figs, we're trying to get the scoop. It was good last time you went. Are you dating said Knicks City dancer? Are you, stalking your boy Kristaps a little bit?
Just writing stories, you know. We got a. I guess I can't say too much yet, but we have a Knicks story coming out very shortly, which makes the timing of this kind of unfortunate because we have like 1 week or so, and then we can share it with the world. But exciting Knicks things happening.
Lord willing, we'll be back again, and we can dive into that.
Yeah.
And my man Schwadron out there at Terminal 23 balling in that new Mellow M12s.
Man, it's a nice shoe. I'm not going to lie.
Interesting.
In a bit of a, you know, everyone likes to shit on Mellow shoes constantly every single year, but actually kind of like the Mellow M12 that just came out. Shouts to Jordan for letting me get in there and get busy in them.
So is Nick Veer cutting you a check right now, or you actually really like them, enjoy them?
I actually, you know, at this point, you know, you do enough wear tests and
wow, you know, fortunate.
I'm just saying, I'm saying this in the least obnoxious way possible.
Young jaded kiss.
You know, it is part of my job description. So, you know, you do enough wear tests and stuff, you start to just kind of feel jaded about the different sneakers and stuff. But I really was like, whoa, these are not the normal Mellow shoe, and they were really comfortable and nice to play in. So yeah, props to Jordan for coming with something different this year.
Yeah, and just a real quick shoe tangent, I guess. Mellow, you know, he's not really known as like a Jordan athlete.
Right.
Like, people don't really associate him with the Jordan brand, but he's one of their premier athletes. So good to hear that he has a good sneaker coming out, because he has definitely felt the brunt of the sneaker world for never really producing a good shoe. Anyway, your boy was out in Chicago a few weeks ago, and I hit the Chicago Elite Classic, which featured a lot of the top high school prospects in the country. I was out there for an engagement party. A bunch of my college friends, they all went sightseeing, and I went with my boy Dylan, and we
they went to see the Bean.
Yeah, they went to see the Bean. They're like, "You guys want to come?" We're like, "No, we're gonna go watch 6 hours straight of high school basketball."
Who was good? Who impressed you?
So the team, I don't know if necessarily impressed me the most, but I love the most, was Morgan Park out of Chicago.
Okay.
Who's currently the number one team in Chicago, and they were just like, you could tell they had played like their whole lives together, and their point guard, this kid Charlie Moore, is going to Memphis next year. Mad small, like undersized, but super quick. And he was just killing them. And then Jason Tatum was there, who's going to Duke next year. And there is absolutely no reason for him to be in college next year. Like, he is as NBA ready as they come. Like, the very first shot he took, it was like a 20-foot turnaround fadeaway jumper on the baseline. Nailed it. It's like, why is this guy even going to college?
He's nasty. I saw him in Vegas over the summer, too.
Dead nice.
Speaking of that concept, I'm reading Jonathan Abrams' book.
Oh,
it's not out for a few months.
Need that.
About preps to pros. And I guess I can't share too much on that one either, but it is fire. Highly recommend March 15th you pick that book up, because Jesus Christ, that shit is great.
Word. And then we saw DeMatha as well, who has Markel Fultz, who's top 10 recruit, who's really impressive. He's going to Washington next year. And a junior, DJ Harvey, who's like a top 15 recruit, getting a lot of offers. But the thing about the math is, like, that was the first time I've ever seen them play, but like their coach really does nothing. Like the whole game, he just throws his kids out, like lets them run around. Like they almost lost to St. Vincent St. Mary's, who was severely overmatched. They got one kid who's going to Butler next year, who's nice, but it's like it made me realize like not necessarily grassroots, but a team like Morgan Park, who have been playing together their whole lives, is just so much better on the high school level than like these all-star teams they just throw together. So I thought that was a big takeaway I had. Oh, and the team from Georgia, who's got this kid, I can't remember his last name. His first name is Al Tariq something. He's going to UConn next year. Kid can fill it up.
Well, I mean, on the DeMatha tip, like obviously being from that area, it is kind of like you said, like, you know, guys come from all around the area. You know, I know a couple of guys who played there, played during like the Austin Freeman days there. And I think what you said is kind of why occasionally you'll see guys from DeMatha that weren't even like the third or fourth best players, quote unquote, best players on their high school team. Like Victor Oladipo is a great example. Gets to college and all of a sudden this like athletic freak is like, you know, kind of reined in and gets a, you know, good college coach behind him and can really set him up to be a good pro.
Yeah, they ran like no sets, no out of bounds plays, nothing. It was basically they gave the ball to Markel Fultz, who's their best player.
But they're still pretty damn good.
We
got
to start on him in the next issue.
Yeah, penned by your boy.
Oh yeah.
So that was actually a big reason I went to expense a little bit of it when I do my taxes next year and to see him. So that was fun. Understand that high school is a very niche market, so we won't spend any more time on that. But we'll be bringing Franklin Kaye on at some point, who I actually went to the St. John's Syracuse game with on Sunday when St. John's won and they upset Cuse at the Garden, which was fun.
Why is Syracuse like what the hell is up with Syracuse?
Well, Boeheim is suspended.
Okay.
I don't know. They're just buns, dude. Like,
I mean, they got absolutely smacked by Georgetown. Then Georgetown
lost to Monmouth.
Loses to Monmouth.
Yeah, I mean,
college basketball is nuts, man.
Well, and do you want to get into Bo Ryan now, or do you want to?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So I mean, Bo Ryan retires, and you know, I think Abe and I have discussed our mutual hatred for that man.
I'm glad you remember. I was going to remind you.
2 years and like. He went out in such a cowardly way to just retire at a press conference, basically pulling Steve Spurrier, just like, you know what, I'm out. I mean, he's a bitch, honestly. And, I thought that was really just a suspect move. And, you know, the media, instead of calling him out for that, you know, the college basketball media is probably the softest of all the basketball medias because they got to be in these coaches' pockets or else they get no access since the kids turn over. So right. The ratio is so high. So no one's calling out Bo Ryan, so we're going to do it. And that was some BS, man. I didn't get down with that move at all.
It's well, funny. He did it to set up the coach, the next coach, right? That's basically what he was doing.
So he pulled a power AD, move instead of letting the AD
exactly.
Decide.
The AD was going to choose someone else. He wanted his guy, so he did it. They said it was going to either happen right before the season started or some point during the season where he's just like, all right, I'm out. And then the only option was to, you know, have this next guy in charge kind of slide up. But so either way, the AD is just going to come in and replace him regardless. So it's kind of a sucker move.
My respect for Bo Ryan basically stops at his basketball mind. I mean, I've had a personal interaction with him where he was basically just a dick straight up for no reason to like a young college kid. And it wasn't just me. There was multiple people.
A lot of feelings here.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I just, since when was the last time that he produced like a meaningful NBA player too? That like I don't know. I don't get it with him beyond the, you know, I get like the coaching record, obviously X many wins, whatever, respect. But beyond that, just as a human being, I'm just not a fan.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. And you know, you got to give props, of course, to bring a program like Wisconsin, which is a complete football school, to prominence and relevance. And you know, he has, but like the brand of basketball is always so boring. It was always, you know, grinded out.
I just
like
don't understand
50 to 46
if you don't
games. But I'm sorry to interrupt. The thing that really pissed me off with him was last year when he was like, oh, like Wisconsin doesn't go after one and done guys, blah blah blah, and he was going after Diamond Stone
because you
who
can't
was
get him, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, he just couldn't get him.
Yeah.
God, I'm just like, if you don't currently attend Wisconsin or did not attend Wisconsin or don't live in Wisconsin, why the fuck would you like him? There's nothing, there's no redeeming quality about this man. He recruits all white dudes from Wisconsin and the surrounding states who suck in the NBA. He's a dick. He has a snarl on his face at all times. He retires in the middle of a season. Like, what's to like? I just don't get it.
Yeah, we don't bang with Bo Ryan on this side, clearly. All right, so, you know, I'm glad we got some high school and college talk in. It's pretty rare.
Got that out of my system. Yeah. Shit.
So last
you
time we
take
spoke,
a walker.
Yeah. Bye.
Last time we spoke, the Warriors were still undefeated. I picked them to go 29-0 to into Christmas Day against the Cavs. That did not happen. They lost to the Bucks in one night after playing the Celtics in a double overtime game.
Oh, so you should never be allowed back on this podcast then.
Me? Well, if I'm not here, then no one's here. If we're going to be honest with it, man. But, you know, Abe, you got the chance to see them in Brooklyn when they played the Nets. And, you know, just looking back, like, what an incredible run. I mean, you got to see them live and up in person. You know, just want to give a few thoughts on just the buzz around like an arena and what it's like seeing Steph and them.
I mean, first of all, just, you know, the on-court stuff, like, you know, the Nets were hanging around that game in particular, even until halftime. I think it was only like a 3-point lead. And then all of a sudden, there's just these pockets of explosions from, you know, it could be Clay, it could be Steph. In this case, it was Steph. I think he scored like 14 points in 4 minutes, something like that. And it just happens, like you blink, you know, you can't go to the concession stand if you're at a game. Like, you could turn around and go from a 3-point lead to 23 in a matter of like 6 minutes. Like, these guys just... it's just in bursts. And I don't even think it's like I was talking to someone after the game and they're like, oh yeah, like Steph's just like kind of lazy until the third quarter. I don't even think it's that. I think they just do the same thing over and over. And more often than not, the shots are going in. Like if they're quote unquote struggling in a half or something, it's just, they never waver from what it is that they do. And then at a certain point, those shots are just going to go in. So when you see Steph score, you know, 15 points in 4.5 minutes or whatever, that's just what he does. It's not like necessarily out of the ordinary for him to take those shots. So, I mean, I thought that was just incredible. And then as far as like, you know, the arena atmosphere, I mean, it's crazy. Like, granted, Brooklyn is one of the worst teams in the league. All right. And, you know, a lot's been made about their horrible fan base, horrible attendance.
Non-existent.
But even so, this game in Brooklyn, you know how the kids like line up to shake the hands of the home team when they run out of the tunnel, like, oh, the Brooklyn Nets. And then like the little 6-year-old kids with Brooklyn Nets shirts are like dapping up the players running onto the court. They were lined up outside the Warriors tunnel. Like the Nets got introduced and were already doing their warmups. And then the Warriors came out and dapped up all the little kids and did their warmups on that side.
Yeah,
like the Nets. PR people, whatever, put the kids in front of the Warriors tunnel.
That's crazy. And I feel like
that's not crazy exclusive.
I'm sure not at all. Everywhere they went. Figs, any thoughts on the run? And, you know, 24 or they went 24 straight with the freaking interim coach. And like, it's just crazy stuff. What were your thoughts on the whole thing?
I mean, it was incredible. I think that one of the most interesting things to me will be from here, like, do they take their foot off the gas? Was their foot even really, really on the gas? Are they about to let off another streak? Where's this go from here? Are we, you know, now it's okay. They're not going, whatever, 40, you know, 30, you know, it's done. This part's done. They're not breaking the 34 mark or whatever the record was. But from here, it's like, okay, 72 out of the question, you know, in question. Steve Kerr comes back in the middle of the season, most likely. How's that affect things? There's just a few questions, but it's like, you know, at this point, does it kind of dwindle interest from the rest of the, I mean, if you're in the West and you're like the third or fourth best team, I mean, the Spurs are right there. You've got teams like the Clippers and a couple others kind of sitting in the wing, but are we just throwing away the Western Conference playoffs at this point to be like, okay, if you pick against the Warriors, you're an idiot. Like that, like why even have those conversations at this point?
I did think it was funny. There was like a little bit of like Twitter buzz being like, yo, like while the Warriors were, you know, doing that streak quietly, like the Spurs are really, really good. Like, why didn't they get any attention? Well, it's because the Warriors were fucking 24-0, exactly. You idiot.
Like, it literally never happened before.
They were like too much attention to the Warriors. No, I don't think so. I think it was just about deserved. The right level.
And it's like, is anyone staying there where we're like, oh, that's going to be the matchup, Warriors versus them. Can't wait. I mean, the Spurs are the next team, but even the way they play, it just looks like the Spurs are going to run them off the court.
Yeah, the thing that I really enjoyed the most out of it was just they had such a flair for the dramatic and theatrics. And, you know, when they took the court, they really put on a show for the fans and for absolutely. The rest of the league, which is really cool. You know, Steph, he totally embraced the whole thing, and all the guys, they really embraced the moment and, you know, saw that they were doing something special and they had a chance to make history. And who's to say they're not going to do it again and win another 20 plus in a row? I mean, they did it. Like, the thing, the NBA season is so long. They still have almost 60 games left.
It is kind of amazing, like, how Milwaukee treated that win as if it was literally winning the Super Bowl.
I know. Like, and then they go out and lose to, well, first they have this team strip club outing.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
And then they go out and lose to the Lakers, which is like one of the most predictable losses of all time. You know that team is like they peaked 20 games or 30 games into the season. Like, they to them, they probably think they might as well have won the championship. They beat the Warriors. Wait. They might be one of the only teams to beat them this whole year.
Wait.
Abe just really wants to talk about the strip club outing.
If you haven't seen the TMZ video of the Bucks hitting, what is it, Ace of Diamonds in L.A.?
Ace of Diamonds.
I have no idea.
Whatever. Just Google Bucks strip club TMZ. I don't know. That video just cracked me up. First of all, Chris Middleton looked like he wanted to be anywhere but he looked so bored. He looked
OJ
so
Mayo
bored.
Was like smacking women at his ass.
That's the other thing I was going to say is right. OJ looks like that is his most comfortable place on earth. Like,
also, there's so many people. They're surrounded by people. It's like, if you're an NBA player and you're going to strip club, go to the fucking VIP section.
Also,
get
it's
away
like,
from all humans.
Since when did that level of videotaping become allowed in strip clubs?
Oh, it's not. It is not. It is not at all.
Yeah, so what the hell?
Thing, Greg Monroe.
It was like really good. It was like some GoPro footage.
I know. Greg Monroe is throwing like racks, and then he's out the next game with a sprained knee.
He probably sprained his fucking wrist throwing that shit up
that
there.
That was really, really, really out there.
No, I think legitimately, OJ Mayo looked more comfortable in Ace of Diamonds than he did in his home basketball arena, like on the court.
Oh yeah, I mean, you've interviewed Monroe before, and he's, I mean, pretty boring when you talk to him. And if you watch his interviews, like, he's kind of just like this
southern drawl. Yeah.
And then he's having the time of his life at this club. I was so happy for him.
Wait, but I think that, speaking of the Bucks, and to pull back the Warriors in again, I think that what this whole thing has told us is that, like, the Warriors didn't lose that game because they lost to the Bucks. They lost that game because they were just due for a loss.
Bro, what?
All right, fine.
You want to keep strip club?
No. I was just going to say. You know, I mean, we always try to do the illest hypotheticals on our podcast. So since you brought up the Warriors and we're already talking about strip clubs.
Always.
Give me, like, the Warriors strip club scene. The team walks in. Oh, who's God. Who?
Well,
you know,
number
who's on
one,
stage with the stripper.
Number one, like Greg Monroe, OJ Mayo, Chris Middleton, and Mason Plumlee.
Miles Plumlee.
Like, they're pretty like anonymous in the grand scheme.
That's
of
a good
things.
Point. That's a great point.
If the Warriors,
especially
walk
in LA,
if the Warriors,
it's not like they're in Milwaukee.
If the Warriors walk in, they're getting mobbed as soon as they
that's
walk
a great
in the
point.
Door. So
it's, they probably
it's
can't.
Not, even, I don't even think it's. Comparable.
I don't think you can do it midseason. Yeah.
No. But,
plus, imagine the story that would be compared to how no one gives a hell about the Bucks being in the strip club the night before Lakers. I mean, it was like a funny Twitter thing for like half an hour today.
And people were like, oh, like NBA players go out all the time. I was like, all right, if this was a team in contention,
exactly.
It would be a
I don't
huge
know, though.
It's,
first of all, Cam Newton was in the strip club with Rick Ross.
They play once a week.
A few days ago. Right. But I think
week.
If the, my point is more if the
they
Warriors,
lost to the Lakers. I mean, three wins.
If the Warriors get filmed in a strip club doing the same thing, the story is, yo, they won all these games. They can do whatever the fuck they want. You can't really knock them for this.
I mean,
shit.
I would hope that would be the story, yeah. But I think we've seen that wouldn't be the story. People opposing, like, reporters and stuff, like that fucker from the Jazz, like, he was like, oh, they're like laughing at the TV. Well, imagine if they're in a strip club. God.
Quick OJ Mayo fact. His full name, for those that don't know, is Ovinton J. Anthony Mayo, and his younger brother's name is Todd. I always found that
did
hilarious.
You just Google that, or is that off the top?
I knew that he had a crazy name, and I had to go do my Googles. And there's no way I was remembering Ovinton J. Anthony, but I love the fact that his younger
never
brother's
forgetting
name,
it now.
Googles have been done.
His name Todd. Like, that's one of the most. How do your parents go from Ovinton to Todd? It just it's always
also
blown me away.
I also can't believe he cut his hair, too. I was kind of bummed about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's playing well, man. It's just a haircut. And he's going to be big for them now that, you know, it just came out that Grevis Vasquez is going to be on the shelf for, I think, a few weeks.
Shout out to him.
Bayless is hurt, so OJ Mayo is going to be big for them, and they are certainly underperforming. Figs, you touched on the Spurs earlier, and I actually just wanted to go back to that point real quick. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. They're only four games out at first in the West, and I was having this conversation with my boy Dan the other day. Totally, like, I don't want to say, like, let Duncan Ginobili, excuse me, Parker here is, like, pass me by, but certainly have not watched them nearly enough as I should have.
So, I don't think anyone has.
No, and I'm trying to make it a point to watch them. So I watched them play the Jazz the other day, and, like, they are beating the shit out of teams. And
how about that?
They were
win
up
over
40.
The Sixers.
Yeah, they beat the Sixers by 50.
With none of their guys.
You know, if this was, like, a big market team, you know, it'd be, like, the storyline wouldn't be, all right, Cavs, Warriors, Christmas Day. It'd be, like, the Warriors-Spurs game or playoff series or season matchup is going to be insane. Like, these two teams are seem like they're on a collision course. So, you know, I'm going to make it a point to watch more Spurs games this year. I think Duncan, you know, he's the type of guy, if he retires, he's just going to do it very subtly and casually. He's not going to go through the whole Kobe Bryant tour. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard is playing out of his mind. And
yeah, you know, he's like borderline MVP candidate.
Yeah, he'd probably be finishing in the top five or six of MVP votes at the end of the season. So, you know, if you have League Pass or they're on national TV, I definitely recommend watching the Spurs this year.
It's funny, though, you know, on that point.
Is it?
I just think this is funny that, you know, where do the Spurs come in terms of, and this is something that Slam Online editor Ryan Nelson, you know, said, walked into the office the other day, and he was like, yo, I think Chris Stapps is my number one, like, must-watch player.
Not even
in
curious.
The NBA, which means, like, the Knicks are my number one team to watch. Like, every night, I'm
so
curious
true.
To see what they're going to do. Which, you know, you can debate that point by itself. But on that note, where do the Spurs come in on that list? Like, not super high, at least for me. Like, I mean, obviously, in having this discussion, we're saying they should leap up.
I mean, I'm making it a point to watch
correct.
These games.
I'm saying
slow, though. They're not particularly fun to watch.
No,
they kind of slowed it down
but
a little
they,
bit this
they
season.
They beat
exactly.
the hell out of teams. And, you know, they weren't – I forgot how banged up they were last year during the year. And they finally got their guys back, and now they're just blowing teams out.
I'm just saying it's hard to prioritize them as a fan when you have someone like Chris Stapps. You got, you know, Russ and KD. You got, obviously, the Curry every single night. Like LeBron James.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's definitely the Warriors and then everybody else at this point.
So I wouldn't beat yourself up too much, is my point.
I'm really taking this one to the chest, man. No, but, you know, the Knicks, you know, I kind of just hate watch them. Chris Stapps is cool, and, like, Melo has his moments, but
where do the Knicks go from here, real quick?
Knicks go from here?
Yeah.
As far as what? I mean,
as far as where they go as a franchise.
Big question if they're going to trade Melo. Is that what you mean? No, they're not going to trade Melo because he has a no trade clause. And he's about that lifestyle, man. He's not going to leave New York.
Here's my question. Could the
to who?
Yeah, exactly.
It needs to be the perfect storm, right? You need a big market that he would go to. You need a team that has a void at a superstar, you know, needing a small forward type to score. And they need to be good where they're in contention now and going to be more in contention if they got Carmelo Anthony, and the Boston Celtics fit the fucking mold.
You know, that's funny because I was just going to say, because the Knicks at this point, they, you know, management is kind of handling things a little different. So they're definitely going to want picks back. Whereas in the past, they definitely
like
only want
Nets
players.
Yeah, like the Nets number one pick in 2016.
Yes, and I agree with you. But
why would the Celtics do that when they're in line for a top two pick this year?
Because they want to compete for the Eastern Conference Championship this year.
Yeah, but why would they trade in division? Like, does that matter in the NBA? I don't know.
I don't think so.
No.
I think I'm backing away from
divisions
that if I'm Boston.
I just don't think Melo is going to leave.
Yeah, no, I don't know. If I'm not betting on any front right now. I'm just saying that.
Love the hypothetical.
Yeah, it's
a hypothetical. And also, like, if you're both teams, you're not having that meeting about it. Like, you're not devoting 0 minutes to the question.
I mean, Danny Ainge at this point is probably taking calls from every team.
Totally.
Because, I mean, this is basically what he did right before he got.
I mean, look, they're seven in the East right now with no superstar. Like, playing pretty well, competing. I don't know.
And, you know, Danny Ainge isn't afraid to make a move, and this is basically the perfect storm.
With a hell of a trade chip.
Yeah, when
he
got
hell of a trade chip.
When he got KG and Ray Allen. and they went on to win a championship. But semi hot take, I don't think the Nets are going to, I don't think they're going to finish as badly as many people expect them to. And this, I don't think the Celtics are going to get like a top three pick.
Yeah. I'm not calling it the, I think some people are calling that like the Ben Simmons pick. That's a stretch, but a top five pick is a top five pick.
Well, this year, a top five, year. But finishing in the bottom five means you have a pretty good chance of getting a number one pick.
Right. No, but I'm saying you don't want to guarantee how many, one guy. Like you can't go and say we're sure. going to get Ben Simmons.
Of course not.
Yeah, top five pick. Exactly.
Celtics fans are acting like he's already on the team, on the roster.
Dude, yeah, exactly. Plug in, man. It's so annoying. Like I don't even watch the go.
So annoying.
No, so you know, Philly's 1-25, the Lakers are 4-21, New Orleans is 6-18. So Brooklyn is, you know, they're 7-17, and not necessarily, you know, they're playing better ball than they were before, and they have no incentive to tank. So, you know, they're going to continue to play hard.
I have a hard time seeing them not be in the bottom three by the end of the year.
Between Brook Lopez, Joe Johnson, those are like pretty legit NBA players, at least. If one of those guys gets injured, it's a wrap for that team.
If one of the dudes is definitely getting injured.
Yeah.
Two of the most injury-prone guys in the league.
Yeah, so I think that's the third, at best, fourth worst team in the NBA this year.
Word. And speaking of that, you know, the automatic Ben Simmons, you know, all-star best prospect in 10 years, dude can't shoot.
I feel like
we're
about to see some hate.
No, it's not even hate.
It's so annoying because this is the second show that we've had to do this, and we all love Ben Simmons.
It's not hate.
Yeah, I don't even
all.
Fully
it's
agree with you guys on this one.
It's just reality. I mean,
he can't shoot. I don't give a shit.
Okay,
that's fine. It's not even about the can't shoot for me. It's just like the putting him up on this pedestal already.
The pedestal might be too high. I actually
way too high.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not wrong there, but
all right. Well, here's the thing I was thinking of yesterday. Actually, what does it say about, you know, the best player in college basketball can't lead his team to any wins, and they lose to a team like Houston, and they're not even ranked, and they might be not even make the tournament. You know, what does that say about him as a player?
It is strange
like 12
because
years old though.
Yeah, but even like Mike Beasley had Kansas State, like one of the best teams in the
Shouts
country.
To Bill Walker,
when he was in college. Yeah.
And you know, exactly. Like if you're that good, like you should almost be winning. I don't want to say winning this game by yourself, but they have good players on that team. You know, and Abe and I went and saw them live. And like their coaching is a mess. Like they run no sense.
We don't need to go over all that again.
No.
But your point is
no.
Well
but in
taken.
College basketball, that's a big deal. It's like
for sure
coaching is it's way bigger than in the NBA. At least the effect of the coach's impact on the game
for sure. But I mean, the SEC is not the Big Ten.
But they lost to Houston, dog. Like
you know? among many other awful losses.
So I don't know. That's the thing. I'd be wary of that. And I mean, look, he's probably going to be amazing in the NBA. But
there's some other talent in this draft too. Dog,
I think Chris Dunn is
the
best prospect in the draft. Just as far as someone who can come in and play immediately, it's probably him and Simmons.
Immediately
too.
For sure.
Yeah. So just someone, and you know that the Celtics might be a good fit for him. If he falls to the Celtics, they get a top five pick. Chris Dunn lands in Boston, and you know, speaking of great coaches, he's gonna have Brad Stevens.
Certainly familiar with the area too.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of more shitty teams, the Philadelphia 76ers shook things up, brought in Jerry Colangelo. You know, very simple. Is this the end of days for Sam Hinkie, Figs?
I'm not sure. I thought it was at first, and now I'm like kind of wavering on that. I don't know. I think that, I mean, look, he's done, right? Like, Hinkie's plan has to end now. Now, you know, you can't argue that there's five more years of losing. They lost big. They got Michael Carter-Williams, traded him, Nerlens, Embiid, Okafor. Am I forgetting anyone?
Sarge
coming over next year. Maybe not. Who knows?
Maybe never.
Yeah, I don't know. And so that's it, right? Now they're going to get, top three pick 2016. That's the collection of young talent that the quote unquote process brought them. That's it. So if you're anyone, you know, if you're Hinkie, now's where you start maneuvering and okay, what are we going to do with these prospects? How are we going to develop them? Bring in free agents, trades, develop these guys, whatever. I think the owners were kind of scared that Hinkie's not capable of doing that. A lot of agents hate him. I guess the other GMs are kind of pissed off about him. Other owners certainly don't really fuck with him because he's costing the league money. And so, you know, they brought in a guy who's more of a people person. A lot of people respect Jerry Colangelo, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I think at the very least, Hinkie's process is ending. So does that mean that he's done? I don't know. It's kind of depends on ownership and probably Colangelo, like going to ownership and being, yo, get this guy out of here. Let me do this. But either way, it's like, it's got to end. So I don't know. I think it'll be weird to judge this shit a few years from now and see, you know, even if Kinky gets booted this summer, maybe it worked a few years from now. Maybe these guys become all stars and maybe it did work, but it'll be sad if he has to bounce and that does happen. But I don't see it. I think that, you know, I think they'll keep him around and Colangelo will do most of the maneuvering from here.
So Colangelo is 76 years old, mm-hmm. and he's going to want to win now. You know, Zach Lowe did a piece with Hinkie and finally got Hinkie to talk. And Hinkie basically said that if Kendall Marshall was healthy, this team would be better and he would be taking care of these young guys. Sam Hinkie obviously does not follow Kendall Marshall on Twitter, number one. and number two, Kendall Marshall has averaged 5 points a game in 14 minutes for his career. So, you know, I thought that was outlandish. You know, I think Zach Lowe is a much better writer than that and should not be getting in this guy's corner for someone who basically has. And in the article, it's Hinkie says that they were going to draft Elfrid Payton and basically use him as trade bait to get Sarge from the Magic. And then he asked him why I didn't do it. And Hinkie says that would be a reckless maneuver. And I'm not a reckless person. I'm sorry, but the way he's run this franchise has been one of the most reckless things that the NBA has ever seen. So I don't know how you can get in this guy's corner. And is it because, you know, a lot of writers had defended, you know, the analytics movement, and Hinkie's kind of been on the forefront of that. So they're kind of, you know, trying to do some damage control. I don't know. I mean, very pretty interesting subject.
The part of that story that kind of, sorry to cut you off, the part of that story that kind of threw me off, though, was where Hinkie was like, you know, we do miss Jason Richardson. Kind of do wish we had a veteran or two to like right the ship a little bit when a couple of our guys got hurt and a couple of the off the court incidents. It's like what everyone was saying that the entire summer, the entire beginning of the season, that they have no vets, they have no, like the fact that he's just coming to this conclusion now after mm-hmm. things got
Carl Landry,
it's like that's like troubling.
Yeah,
that's right. Like, wait, you really didn't know that this whole time that this could have happened?
He also sounds delusional.
Like, also the report about like trying to bring in Shane Battier or Elton Brand, like, I'm just thinking, like, that's okay. That's like a nice idea. Why the hell would those guys want to take on that responsibility?
Paycheck. That's really all. But it's a Duke connection as well. I mean,
I guess, but yeah. God, it's just like, who wants to come into that and be like, oh yeah, here you go. Like, this is for you to, you know, teach our quote unquote teach our young guys, which is like much easier said than done. And like a gigantic undertaking that you can't just put a band-aid on by bringing in a guy who used to play in the league or used to play for the Sixers.
And what guys are you teaching? Because, you know, more than half of those guys aren't going to be on the roster. They have no plans for them in the future. These are just stop holders and gaps for you know, when hopefully these guys get healthy and play.
But it just signals to me that, like, if you're like, oh, hey, we should go sign these ex-NBA players, like, in the middle of our season, like, you planned everything else from your analytics down to a T, but you had absolutely no plan for the physical, like, human beings that are on your team, and now you're trying to throw a band-aid on. I don't know. I feel like we spent too much time on that shitty-ass team.
Well, last point. I heard Brendan Haywood on the radio this week, and he's retired but open to play if a team offers him a contract. And the host asked him if he would play for the Sixers, and he said, not a chance in hell he would sign.
Exactly.
So who knows? anyway, more news around the league. Chris Sheridan, off the shits as usual, coming out and basically saying that every single player is on the trade market at this point in the season. And the big name he threw out was Dwight Howard. And then the potential trade was Dwight Howard to the Heat for Hassan Whiteside. Makes sense. I don't know why the Heat would do that unless they have no hope that they're going to win this year and that Whiteside is probably going to walk because they're not going to be able to afford him in the offseason because he's about to get a huge pay bump. But, you know, the Rockets are just a mess. And, you know, what do we think of Dwight Howard? Do you think he's going to get moved? I mean, he's got a player option for $23 million next year. I don't know why he would give that up. So the team is going to have to take on that salary as well. I don't know. I mean, I don't see it happening. I don't see him fitting anywhere. And I think he might just be like kind of done for him at this point. What do you think, squad?
Oh, I was just this whole time thinking about how Miami has to do whatever it takes to keep DJ Khaled's Snapchats. Hence the Hassan Whiteside connection to keep him in the building.
Major key.
Major key to winning the NBA championship.
He also said Justice Winslow is on the market. I don't know why you would trade, you know, I understand he has a lot of value around the
league. If I was a Heat fan and I heard that, I would be legitimately
freaked out.
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, Pat Riley ain't making that move, man. He's one of the smartest GMs in the league.
Don't you think that, I don't know, what do you guys think about the, like, I find it a little hard to believe that Dwight Howard is unhappy every single place he goes. Like, why would he be unhappy in Houston right now? Is it?
Outside
of the fact that that team is playing trash, like garbage. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but, like, since when has that mattered to Dwight Howard?
What do you mean? I mean, I think he's been on good teams most of his career. He went to the finals with the Magic. He was on the Lakers. That was the one bad year he really had. The Rockets went to the Western Conference.
So you think he's legitimately like going home every night, like, man, we suck. I'm so upset. No.
The thing with him is he doesn't really have the right to have this opinion because he can't stay on. He can't play back to back.
But my point is, I don't think he has that. I don't think he's upset. I think this reporter's stupid.
Well, yeah, and then Dwight Howard came out. He was like, this is BS.
He has to do that, obviously. But
plus, it's hard to trust him after the Stan Van Gundy shit when he was literally like, Dwight, you guys are crazy. I did not ask for Stan Van Gundy to be fired. And then Stan Van Gundy walks into the room and goes, yeah, Dwight wants me fired. I learned about an hour ago. And then that's like a top five NBA presser situation.
Oh, 100%.
Stan's just sitting 100%. There like, yeah, he asked for me to get fired.
All right, so Dwight Howard not getting traded.
I actually kind of hope he does get traded just because I think it'd be a fun storyline for the league, depending on where he ends up.
I want the Rockets to shake it up just because they should contend. Like, you know, they're a fun, well, I don't know, fun if there's the right word, but they're a contending team that should be contending better.
I think seventh in the West is kind of sad right now. Yeah.
They played the Kings and they went like crazy small at one point and had like Ariza playing center.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Ty Lawson thing hasn't worked out for them thus far. You know, Marcus Thornton is out playing him off the bench. So, you know, Corey Brewer, you know, these guys just kind of got older, like kind of quick.
Yo, speaking of Corey Brewer being old, I did not realize how bald he is now.
What?
Son, I was watching the game the other night.
Were you watching the game or were you watching Corey Brewer's head?
Well, they flash him on the screen and his headband has for so many years done a good job of covering it up. But goddamn, like, it's making me feel old.
Yo, what, speaking of Corey Brewer.
Losing hairline like crazy.
Speaking of Corey Brewer's hairline. what's good with the, you know, Joakim Noah? They were teammates in college. And there's been rumors out of
no shortage of hair for him.
There's been rumors out of Chicago that they could make a move. And a Windhorse came out this week and said that, you know, he's looking at them to make a move. Apparently they want to free up the god Bobby Portis and get him some more
Please
minutes.
Do it.
You know, Joakim Noah is in a contract year. He's just not, you know, he's not the player he was. I think injuries caught up to him between knee and the plantar fasciitis when he was signed to Le Cook. And they screwed up his feet completely.
Can you say that again?
No, please. I can't. That was a one shot only. So, I mean, do you think the Bulls are ripe to make a move? I mean, they're a weird team. You know, they have the good record, but when you watch them, they seem kind of like they're a mess. And I've been hearing Jimmy Butler is not, and you can tell even in his post game, he's not a fan of Fred Hoiberg. You know, he's a Tibbs guy to the death. You know, are we about to see this thing blow up in Gar Foreman's face and John Paxson's face anytime soon?
I have a Bulls point, but also it heats back to the Rockets too. If a team fires a coach or tosses a coach out of town, however, by not re-upping their contract, and then we learn in the subsequent weeks of either that season or the following season that they made a huge mistake, that coach should be forced to come back and like be allowed to get his job back, because I just feel bad for Tibbs. I feel bad for Kevin McHale, who like took this heat for this Rockets team not trying, right, and then he leaves
and they're still whack.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, get this guy back. He was good, respected coach. Now you're just in this weird limbo. I feel bad for Tibbs. Got ran out of town. Was a great coach.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple of guys that were kind of pissed that he ran the hell out of his players, but you know, Hoiberg was not an upgrade in the slightest.
Well, the minutes thing is BS.
Bring these guys back, man.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the Bulls thought that they were gonna enter a Warriors situation where, you know, they're gonna get rid of the coach and they're gonna hire the new young coach and he's gonna come in and
play fast.
Yeah, and I mean, it just hasn't worked out for them. And as far as the minutes thing, like, Hoiberg's playing them just as many minutes as Tibbs did, and you know, the Chicago media and minutes police has not been on top of that at all. I mean, it's sad, dude. I mean, like, they kind of had it out for Tibbs, and which it was horrible, and you know, they threw this guy completely under the bus. He took the high road, never said anything back. Now he's just lamping.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for him to get another job too.
Where was he? He was hanging out with a team recently, just like in the cut. I forget what team. Shit.
But he's basically just been doing like a coaching tour. He's going on all these teams. And someone will bring it back. You know, when the Bulls are playing a team that he's friends with the coach with, you know he's hitting them up. I mean, when they played the Hornets, and him and Steve Clifford are boys from when they both were on the Knicks bench, and the Hornets beat the crap.
Oh, so that's what I'm talking about. It was the Hornets. Yeah, yeah. He was just chilling with
him. Him and Steve Clifford are boys.
Do you guys think Tibbs is at the point where the next team that brings him in is going to have to give him like the Stan Van Gundy, Doc Rivers setup of being GM also?
No, because I don't think he wants that. I think
that's fair.
I think they would though. Like, if it was the right team, they would offer him that. No,
I hate that move.
If a team won big with that, that trend would pick up if a team won big with that, because the league is a copycat league. Yeah, but it hasn't yet.
No, and it's two completely different jobs to be a coach and a GM. And you know,
it's going to keep happening though, because these franchises want these big name coaches that, you know, are guaranteed to at least give them a good PR look.
Yeah.
Calipari's going to get it. I'm convinced. When Calipari accepts an NBA role, it'll be.
And you think he's just waiting for that offer?
Hell yeah.
You think the Kings are going to give it to him?
I don't know, man. I've been waiting. I think so. You know who I think should give it to him? I think this summer the Nets should do it. I think they should clear out Billy King, clear out Lionel Hollins, who I like a lot. Just let Calipari run the show. He's good with young guys.
You've
they
been
like
saying
him.
That since like 2012.
You think he would go back to that franchise, though?
I don't. Maybe. Maybe he wants the chance to like
redeem himself.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know, man.
Young dudes coming into the league will want to play for him because he's got the reputation.
Sure.
He'll actually help attract free agents with a team that has no money and it's going to need to like try to finesse shit however they can.
He's got it so good at Kentucky though, man. Like he's
it'll have to be the right setup.
Yeah, I mean,
can they change their logo and jerseys when they do that? Just throw some blue in there. Yeah, man.
Valued,
the Nets need like a whole
Billy, man. Today.
Nets need, I don't agree with
man.
This at all, though. No way.
What?
The Nets at this point are a fashion brand with like a basketball team on the side as like an art project.
Well, that is like, that is 100% true.
Their clothing line is flourishing.
That's true.
Walk through Brooklyn, you see a Nets hat every 5 seconds, no matter what's going on the court.
Yeah. Dude, supposedly in Europe, it's like the hottest shit to be wearing like
so
Nets gear.
Nobody gives a shit that they're 7-17.
Is so universal.
It's kind of like rappers wearing soccer jerseys here at this point, no?
Yeah,
like they have no idea what they're wearing.
I guess I don't know. They might.
There's a 0% chance that Meek Mill can name one Arsenal player.
You don't think they're getting up at 7 a.m. to watch Premier League soccer on Saturdays?
I'm not ruling it out.
I'm not ruling it out either, man. I'm about to do an investigative report on the fanhood of rappers and Premier League teams. All right, now for my favorite part of the Poddington. The shout outs.
Oh man.
Shout out Nick Veer from Jordan.
Matter of fact, shout out anyone who's listened to all three episodes of this podcast.
You're a hero.
We definitely appreciate it.
And hey, if you like the show or you want to hear us talk about other less boring shit,
just come to the office.
Tweet us.
What a ringing endorsement.
At Slam Online. You know, tweet me, follow me on Twitter.
Don't do that.
Oh my god.
Please.
Abe_squad.
This will be the last show
Instagram
he is
too.
A part of.
What, I can't shout out my own Instagram page?
No, you can't.
Yo, shout out Charlie Moore and the whole Morgan Park High School basketball team.
Shout out Satnam Singh. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Happy birthday. Belated. Happy belated Satnam.
Finally.
2023.
Follow
he's going to be
Snapchat.
Running the NBA.
Shout out to Marcus Cousins, his business manager.
Andrew
Rogers.
Free Andrew. Hashtag.
Was that his name, Andrew Rogers?
Yeah, I think so. Something
Damn,
like that.
That's crazy.
Hashtag free
out here
Andrew.
Slapping Jason Terry around. Shout out
Jason Terry.
Yeah, why not, man? Speaking of bald men, shout out Devin Booker, who's quietly putting together a pretty nice rookie season.
Shooter.
Yeah. Shout out Carl Anthony Towns for being that dude. Shout out Kevin Garnett, man. Just cause
always.
You think this is it for him?
I kind of hope so.
Me too. I mean, he's kind of like playing like they basically playing 5 minutes.
You think
first and third quarter, and that's kind of
KG 2016-17 Timberwolves head coach possibility?
They should definitely get rid of Sam Mitchell, yo. He's running that team to the ground.
I think he's more in line for like an ownership spot.
Yeah, but
I think he's just too fucking crazy to
Coach. Like he will like just tear a player's head off.
Shout out referees.
If he can handle it, he would get the respect off the rip.
Yeah, shout out Gary Harris on the Nuggets, who's finally starting to play well.
Playing like 40 plus minutes a night.
Dude, mad happy for him, man.
Crazy.
Like, he kinda looked like he was on the brink of falling off.
Actually, the Gary Harris Will Barton.
Yo, Will Barton, man, is playing well. Shout out to Will Barton too. I remember
so much fun
back in the day. When he was in Portland, he posted a picture. He was in the gym late night and I don't even know what they're called, but the machine you shoot into and it just pops the ball back out at you and it keeps the stats. And he shot like 50% and with nobody else in the gym.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It, sending to you, I was like, wait, is it 50% when no one is defending you? Horrible.
Turned it around though.
Yeah,
good. The Nuggets are in the playoffs as of this talking.
Yeah, and Moody,
crazy.
Moody is hurt, so I guess shout out Michael Malone.
Mike Malone,
man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Shout out to Svi Twersky, Stan Sox, always keeping us laced.
Word. I don't even think he listens to this because he is not. No. Has he texted either of you about it?
No.
That's a bad look.
No.
Of course, shout out the entire Detroit Pistons staff. Mm. Roster,
player development coaches,
front office. Yo, low key though, that team is going to be they're going to be in line to sign a lot of big free agents. I've heard some reports. I'll tell you guys off air. I'm not at liberty to say on air right now. Shout out Kyle Lowry, man. He's putting together if one for Steph Curry, you know, he's putting together a monster season and probably be in the running for MVP talk.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but shout out to D Will, man.
Yo, shout out Ray Fallon, dog.
Another bald man.
Yo, shout out the entire Dallas Mavericks team, I guess. I put down money on them on the under 37 games, and they're about to crush that. So I'm about to lose some money, but still got love for Dirk. Mm-hmm. Another guy, do you think this is it for him? He's like still putting up 20 and 10 on nights.
Nah, yeah, I wouldn't quit if I was him.
It's insane, dude. Like the other guys are breaking down. Yo, shout out Kobe, he's starting to play better. Yo, shout out D'Angelo Russell, man. You know, he's turned it around the last few weeks, really starting to play better. Shout out Jabari Parker. He's looking like he's coming back from that knee injury nicely, finally. You know, shout out the Atlanta Hawks. Always bang with Al Horford.
Shout out Jeremy Lin's ever-evolving haircut.
Shout out Dennis Schroeder.
Shout out all the Hornets, man. Fourth in the East right now.
Yo, word. Shout out Jeremy Lamb, who's kind of turned it around. Steve Clifford's done a great job there. Any college guys you want to shout out? Shout out Grayson Allen for looking exactly like Ted Cruz.
I do like Grayson Allen.
Yeah, word. Shout out the Italian dude on St. John's, whose name I can't remember, who was hitting those ridiculous three-pointers I've seen in quite some time. Shout out Marcus Levet, man. Hope you get freed up. They let you play. Damn the man.
Shout out Taco Fall.
Oh, of course. Shout out the other guy who's like 7'6 on
on
Cal Irvine. I can't remember your name. Yeah, shout out to you if you're listening.
We mean if. Absolutely is.
Shout out Tyler Ellis, man. I always like that kid. The kid out of Kentucky who's playing well. Shout out Brandon Ingram.
Oh, dude. I was watching Ingram's highlights today. He's so sick, but he's so skinny, man.
I know.
God.
I know. So, you know, watch out. He might make a run at that number one spot.
I feel like he's going to end up being like that, you know, Anthony Davis body transformation where he's got so much like room to put on muscle.
Yeah, and I mean he went baseline and banged on some dude on George Seller, and that was crazy, man. So shout out to him. Shout out Ben Osborne, shout out Susan Thomas Price, shout out Ryan Nelson, shout out Frank Akai, shout out the intern, what's his name? Max.
Max. Shout out Alexis Morgan, one of the newest, you know, additions to the fam.
Shout out to that man.
It's a female, but you're welcome.
Shout out to that woman that pardon me, miss, but no disrespect. Shout out my mom and dad. They listen to every episode. They said, please stop.
Shout out to the Walshes. So sorry for cursing.
Please stop. So I've actually really tried to stop cursing just for them.
But you didn't tell us that.
Yeah, really.
Well, I'm telling you now, man. I know. And I was thinking if and when we ever get guests, we probably got to tone down the cursing because then they won't tweet it
Censor
out.
Censor button coming next issue, next pod.
New issue on stands first week of January. And did I miss anybody on the shout outs?
Cover next week, probably.
Covers next week. Pardon, we're going to have a lot of dope stuff in there. I know that for a fact.
Oh, I just want to give a shout out to JJ Redick for, you know, another legendary interview on the season. Oh, first we had the Harden one, now the JJ Redick one.
You know why they're doing that, right? The last guy in the Clippers locker room has to do a dance for the whole team. So now they're just sprinting away.
It's amazing. What's the purpose of that? What's the team buildingness of all that? Like, what's the point of that in the slightest? It's just a race back.
They must just be trying anything at this point. To
get some sort of team camaraderie.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of GM coaching jobs, when are people going to get hip and realize that Doc is just not that dude when it comes to that stuff? But that's for another show. Thanks to everybody for listening. Shout out Shamari Pons. He'll be in the next issue as well. Going to St. John's next year. Thomas Jefferson, hi.
Shout out Chris Mullen.
Yeah, shout out Chris Mullen, man. Shout out Slice Rorson on the bench with him. Shout out Mitch Richmond, who's on the bench with him as well, which is crazy. Shout out Eric Newman for putting this together. Need you to start posting these earlier, playboy.
shout out to anyone who, you know, once again, who listens to this on any consistent basis.
Real talk.
Comment.
Man. Real talk.
Tell us what you want to talk about. Yeah.
Shout out to Paul Rivera and the Winner's Circle team. Shout out LeBron for the hooking that kid up.
That was dope.
Special Olympics. Yeah, I mean that really shows you the type of person and character he has. So, you know, also shout out to the selfie he took that people turned into Inspector Gadget. That was amazing. Basically made my night. Yeah, and that'll do it, man. Follow us, Slam Online, SlamOnline.com, Slam Online on Twitter, Slam Online on Instagram, Slam Online Snapchat. We'll be back. I don't know if we'll be back by the end of the year. If not, everybody have a happy, safe holidays. And, you know, we'll see you in 2016. Peace.
Peace.